Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon. My fabulous swingers, listeners, subscribers, guests, everybody, you just make life so good. Thank you again to everybody that keeps subscribing. Once again, the numbers are even better this week. Listeners, subscribers, and guests, and thanks to you listening and sharing with your friends and subscribing. You help me get great guests like I have been having, and like I've got coming up, and like I have tonight, and good sponsors too. Make it so fabulous. Hey, you know, tonight is a guest that's been on before, and believe me, he's one of our favorites. You know, it's also almost time for my Halloween special, and this one is going to be even better. Some people tell me that they like the Halloween specials because if they're having a party or getting ready for a party or just having a Halloween dinner before they go out, they can always just put on the show, replay it, and then when they do, they've got a soundtrack. So every year is good. Every year I'm very, very fortunate to have a great guest on, and this year it's going to be even better. Even better. So, I think that my guest is almost here. Let me look out the door. Let me check with my doorman. He's got to be there somewhere. Okay. All right. Just go ahead and let him come through, please. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. All right, folks. And as you know, my guest tonight, and I know many people have been waiting for this so long, is an author. And I call him a horror author, but he writes in several different genres, including children's. There's no end to the way he will entertain you, what he will give of himself to entertain. Got horror stories, children's stories, stand-up comedy, speaker, actor, videos, and he's got two new projects he's bringing in tonight to tell us about. So please, welcome. And I want you to make him feel welcome, even to the pit of his twisted little lovable heart. Jasper Bark, welcome back to Madame Perry's Salon.
It's a real pleasure to be here, Madame Perry. And thank you so much for having me on.
And
your doorman was really kind, actually, because he's loosened all the straps on my straitjacket, which was, I thought, most thoughtful of him.
Yeah, well, don't get too comfortable when you hear that saw going around the chair.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so you're not going
to
remove the face mask then?
Oh, Jasper, you're just so funny. You just But anyway, with, you're coming back tonight, and everybody's excited, and I'm excited. Then you've got two, like last time, you have not one, but two new projects, maybe more in between our last email and now.
I have quite a few things to talk about.
Yeah, so let's get cracking. And by the way, folks, if you want to, oh, let me go over a couple of things, Jasper, if you don't mind, while you're settling in and rubbing your wrist there, okay? As folks, remember too, you know, David Fischoff, the guy that created Ringo Starr's All-Star Band and Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, they had the Judas Priest Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in September. I forget what's coming up in October, but remember, when you sign up, say Madam Perry sent you, and David will give you a guitar worth $700 when you get there. That's a pretty cool gift. Let's see, recently, who have we had on? Yes.
Wow, that is a good gift.
Yeah. I know. Well, he was on the show back in August, David Fischoff was. Mm-hmm. I knew he was a sports and sports and entertainment agent, and he created several TV shows, but I did not realize until I talked to him, or just before I talked to him, that he came up with the idea of the Ringo Starr All-Star Band and then had somebody make it into a, do a commercial on it, an audio commercial, so he could sell it to Ringo like that. Say, see how good this sounds? So, yeah, a lot of people play, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen, I guess they, I'm sure they come to London. They usually have people like, you know, Greg Bissonette on drums, Todd Rundgren, my favorite, on guitar, Buck Dharma,
oh,
all kinds
wow.
of people. So, yeah, yeah. So it's pretty good. It's great, in fact. So, yeah, he very kindly said, tell people if they just mention Madam Perry. There you go. So,
well, I find mentioning your name opens a lot of doors for me. Sometimes in the wrong places.
Yeah,
well, sometimes those are police headquarter doors. But
Jasper, stick with me. You'll go places. And I'm not talking about women's prison like last time I told you that, okay? They still talk about you.
I made some good friends. I learned to darn socks and everything.
Oh, well, let's keep the rest of that for my book, okay? So we won't tell
fair enough.
Everything yet. Okay, and yeah, just wait till we go to a rat killing in South Georgia or something, okay? Now,
okay.
Okay, I never know where to begin with you, and you always get me so giddy. You are, and let me go back over, because some people, if anybody is new to you, I don't know how, just know that, yes, you are a multiple award-winning author and comic writer. You've written for everyone in the UK, from 2000 AD, the Games Workshop, Titan Comics, Marvel Panini, through to Viz and even the Beano. Your cult classics include Way of the Barefoot Zombie and The Final Cut. Oh, and your best-selling children's book, The Inventions of Leonardo da Vinci, won the award-winning educational graphic. And you also had the award-winning educational graphic novel series, Battle Cries.
That's right.
Your comics have won an Ashcan Award and Educational Readers Award. Your books have won a This Is Horror Award, Predators and Editors Award. And, you know, I've told you, I've always been, ever since I first met you, and I've always been surprised at sometimes places I can go and just somebody I'm talking about who mentioned Jasper Bark, and people who don't even sound like they're paying attention to you will perk up, Jasper Bark, you know, and start leading off a list of what you've done. And I wonder sometimes if you know how far your reach is.
No, you don't really, if I'm honest. I think one of the wonderful things about being a family man is your family keep you very much, your feet very much on the ground. They're very not impressed by any of the things that you do in the slightest. And when I was a film and music journalist, when I was a stand-up, I got to meet some of the most famous people on the face of the planet. While my kids were growing up, every 10 minutes on the television, I'd point to somebody, oh, I've met him. And my kids would just roll their eyes. Oh, God, Dad, who haven't you met? Yeah, yada, yada, yada. So that kind of keeps you fit. And just before I'm doing this radio interview, I've actually run out of my kitchen, having been channeling my inner Martha Stewart. I must say, for the for the viewers stateside that it's currently like 12 midnight here. It's the witching hour. And I, rather than stirring a cauldron, I have actually been preparing Moroccan couscous, Mediterranean roast vegetables, and fried halloumi for their packed lunches tomorrow morning for us, for my wife and my children. that's what a glamorous life I lead. That's what else I obviously picked up in women's prison with Martha. But yes, gone are the days when my children will be satisfied with a nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich with all the crusts cut off. No, no, no. These days they want something far more elaborate. So there you go.
Okay. Well, you keep
in between penning
stirring,
dreadful,
you know,
tales. I was going to say, in between penning dreadful tales, I am whipping up culinary masterpieces and cleaning down the hob of my cooker.
Well, you know, it's always the witching hour, Madame Perry Salon, no matter what time it is.
This is very, very true.
So, I love hearing about it. I don't know what that had to do with this, but yeah, I can dig it. Tell me about, you've got a couple of new things, and the first one I want to talk to you about, because I love what I've seen of the, the illustrations, is Parassassin.
Parassassin. Parassassin began life as a syndicated regular weekly strip in Aces Weekly. And Aces Weekly is the online brainchild of an amazingly talented, legendary artist called David Lloyd. And David Lloyd is one of the people who is responsible, along with the writer Alan Moore, for inventing V for Vendetta. And David came up with the little Guy Fawkes mask that you see on the faces of practically every person on any march anywhere across the world these days, whether it be hackers or whether it be members of Reclaim the Streets or whether it be members of the Arab Spring. They're all wearing that mask. That was designed by David. He's a very brilliant artist. He's a very self-effacing man. And he set up this thing a little while ago called Aces Weekly to attempt a different model for publishing. He's a bit of an evangelist for leaving print behind and embracing the digital. Aces Weekly commissioned a strip off myself and an amazingly talented Indonesian artist called Alpha Robbie. And it ran for... ran for about 8 months there, and it's been collected by a British company, slightly to David's annoyance, because we're putting it into a book and making it paper again. He's a bit annoyed about this. So he wrote us a very nice foreword to the book, but we're only allowed to use it in the digital copies. We can't use it when it becomes print, which is a shame, because the print book looks great. And it's also, it's a revised and expanded edition, and we've got some new material put in it. And it's very much, it's a time-traveling paradox and political parody set on the planet Cedulon. And it revolves around a character called Doc Hydrobus, who, due to a freak accident with a wormhole generator, has a very, very strange condition. Because every hour or two, his body splits into a crowd of his past and future selves. And then another couple of hours, he absorbs all those selves, and he splits again, almost like an amoeba, but he splits into different people from along his sidelines. So he looks like a crowd of old and young people, all of whom seem to be identical. And he finds himself embroiled in a massive internecine plot to... assassinate the ruler of Cedulon. Unfortunately, one of the time travelers he comes into contact with has travelled all the way back from the future to stop this assassination, because if the assassination goes ahead, then just about all life on this planet Cedulon will be wiped out. However, the people attempting to assassinate him come from another alien planet, and if the leader of the world here, prime candidate Colnady, lives, all life on their planet will be extinct, and he has to find a way to get them to work together to bring about a new future where neither planet faces extinction. And it's got loads of twists and turns and all sorts of things you won't see coming right up until the very final page.
Okay, so this. So let me get back. Doc Hydrovis, because of the freak accident with the wormhole. Am I got that right?
Yep. Wormhole
will
generator.
Will occasionally split into a wormhole generator. Generator. Sorry. Splits into his body. Splits into a crowd of his past and future selves. But they come back together and then split again.
Yes.
He's not continually continually overpopulating the past.
No. So sometimes it's an individual person, but sometimes it's almost like a deck of cards shuffling and reshuffling itself. And this is a very bizarre state. Because of this, he also sees a variety of futures. Because the future is yet to be formed, he splits into past future selves who come from different futures. So he sees different possibilities along the timeline.
Fantastic. And
I left you a bit speechless.
You know, I got to tell you something. The last time you were on, we were talking about two books, Final Cut and Run to Ground. And I'm going to tell you, you know I love you. You know I love your work. Mm-hmm. But I didn't tell you that when I read Final Cut,
there were times
when I just couldn't, I just couldn't eat. You know, I just couldn't. I was like, where the hell does he come up with this? What?
I think, you know, my poor wife wonders this. You know, she's reading this book late at night in bed, and she looks across at her husband and thinks, I'm married to this man, and I share a bed with him. This is going through his mind. The thing about the other book I'm plugging, Quiet Places, which is currently, it's only been out a week or so, and it's racking up 5-star reviews all over the place, thank goodness, is that it's entirely bloodless. That no one gets even so much as a paper cut. There is no violence, and there's no racy sexual content either. It's entirely atmospheric, but it's no less disturbing because of this. It's just got a very creepy atmosphere. This is set in the wilds of the Scottish Highlands, and it's a cosmic horror, but it's also folk horror. So it's very much in the tradition of films like The Wicker Man or The Blood on Satan's Claw from the 70s, or Thomas Tessier's Harvest Home. And involves... So this is very much atmosphere, and the scares and the upset are achieved in a completely different way. So I've branched out into a completely different type of spooky story. So there is no blood in it whatsoever at all, but it's nonetheless very, very, very scary. Set in the Scottish Highlands, involves a couple transplanted from London, who the partner David inherits land and a title in this tiny little Highland town, which is completely remote and cut off from the rest of civilization, called Dunballan. And Sally comes with him, and she was thinking up until that point the relationship was about to end, and was utterly surprised to be invited to come and share this idyllic lifestyle. And at first she falls in love with the absolute stunning, breathtaking beauty of the Highlands. But after a while, the tiny parochial town feels very, very claustrophobic. And what's more, she's convinced that the people of the town have a very dark and sinister secret. And the secret is caught up in their family history of David's family, the McCavendishes. But it goes back even further than that. It goes back to an ancient heresy that probably, maybe even it's some of the people who write about it claim predates humankind itself. And David finds himself in the clutches of a very strange beast, the Beast of Dunballan, which haunts the ancient primeval forests, which lie just outside of Dunballan. And the only person who can free him from the McCavendish family curse is Sally. And Sally is hearing strange and otherworldly voices coming from the undergrowth. And what they're telling her is quite unspeakable. So that's the basic pitch. And it's called Quiet Places. And he creeps
okay,
up
quiet
very, very quietly. Yes, quiet places.
I like it. Yeah. Okay, quiet places also is called a novella of cosmic folk horror. And let me be sure, people who are listening that already know who, and I mean, I've got a lot of people interested and that are listening to you tonight. People who have already read Jasper Bark know this. If you don't, let me tell you, he makes no empty claims. If he says he'll sneak up on you, he'll sneak up on you. You don't have to have a deadly
mind. Yes, so it packs as much of a punch as the rest of my books, but as I say, there is no sex and there is no violence. But yes, it has quite... It builds to one of the biggest climaxes I think I've written, fingers crossed. And so far, the reviews have been wonderfully kind.
You've had 5-star reviews on this, yeah. And so where does this term, and mixing cosmic and folk horror, that's a specific genre, and I think that's something that, yeah, you're right, seems to me, and I don't understand all the genre, I'm not educated on this, but folk horror, I guess that would go like in Thomas Tryon, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Or
that's right. Yes,
Children of the Corn, or something like that.
Those are perfect examples of it, and The Wicker Man, of course, with with Edward Woodward.
If you were telling us who was in Quiet Places, David McCavendish, you know, he's our main guy, and then Sally, his lover. If you were to give us an image of actors that we know. That we could say, then think of this person in that position. Think of what would they look like to us?
Oh, it would probably be, his name suddenly escapes me. Colin Firth would probably be playing somebody like David.
Oh.
I would think. Sally would be probably a slightly younger Julianne Moore, I would say, or even slightly younger Susan Sarandon. Or perhaps Kate Blanchett. She's intelligent. She has a very, very strong internal life. She's a very independent, very, very self-sufficient person who hates being dependent. One of the things that plagues their relationship is they spend a lot of time trying to prove that they don't need to be with each other. They choose to be with each other. But they... this unfortunately begins to drive a bit of a wedge between them, and David is somewhat distant at times, and Sally, who spent her whole life trying not to be dependent upon anyone for any reason, and the whole psychology of her problems with relationships goes into quite this. She has quite a troubled and difficult past, and that comes out over the course of the short novel. She comes to be more dependent on him than she wants, and what she has to face in terms of what he goes through on behalf of the town is unspeakable for her, and it's a deep-seated, difficult thing. And I'm not going to give anything away, but it starts with a bit of a bang and a mystery, and it's one of those books that as soon as you've unraveled one mystery, four more spring up. By the time you get to the final revelation, some of the mysteries of the universe will be revealed to you.
Man, I better settle in for that. I'm going to see how many tubs of chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream I'm going to need to get through this. Looking at
couple.
The yeah. So although the joke on that, this is totally aside, I know from everything, but we were in the grocery store yesterday. My husband and I saw that the ice cream was buy one get one free. I said, well, I think we should stock up a little more for the lean times. Yeah. He goes, honey, if we keep stocking up, there won't be any lean times, okay? I know it's a bad joke, but still. Okay. And that's my horror story. But because I always say if I wake up and find out that, we're in World War III with the North Koreans and the U.S., then what the hell? Get back up and and have that dessert that I put in the back of the fridge, because calories aren't going to matter where I'm going. It's all going to fry. All right. But
well,
reading
if we have to face
horror,
the apocalypse, then it's going to be good to be a bit fattened up, isn't it? To get through those slightly lean weeks.
Better have some, high times and the end times. So, I was looking at the book review earlier on pophorror.com, and I'm going to read a few excerpts of the fellow. He says, Quiet Places is a delightful mix of folklore and psychological terror with a gripping story and convincing character. It is a fable that will leave an impression and make you think long after you read the last sentence. And then I go when he tells the story, but then as down to his last paragraph, he says, Quiet Places is a folk horror at its most cosmic and terrifying, blending folklore with psychological terror. It contains stories within stories, each one of which leads to revelations more fearful than the last, revelations that build to a soul-shattering climax that will haunt you relentlessly long after you have put down this book. And
it's very lovely to say, isn't it?
But that reminds me, too, of when I read Final Cut. It was like you had me looking over my shoulder at different things that didn't even have anything to do. But I'm thinking, that person's got to have something to do with it. I'm sure that cab driver's got something to do with this, you know. And there were people who, you never saw again. But I still kept thinking, I'm sure they're guilty. They're complicit in this somehow. You know, and there's some people that, oh, my God, I'm getting as suspicious as my mother of people with this. And this, in this book, you know, and I'm going, okay, they haven't come back yet, but I'm sure they will. They're going to show up. Well, you don't see them, but they've got something to do. And then I'm thinking, dang, Jasper Bart, you just draw people into their stories.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so lovely of you to say. I spend a lot of hard work goes into that. As I'm sure you know, as an artist yourself, it is one of those, you attempt to be like a swan, so you appear on the surface to be floating, gliding effortlessly across the surface of this lake, but you are, beneath it, there's not so much a pair of legs paddling, there's almost an iceberg worth of work that you try and hide in order to appear to be so effortless. But it's very kind of you to say that, yes, it does take a lot of effort. Sometimes I'll, in between drafts of sending them off to my editor, I'll almost rewrite the book again from scratch. Starting from page one, thinking, no, it's not good enough, and I'll start tinkering with it, and I'll keep seeing ways it could be so much better, and the prose could flow so much better, and the story could have mean so much more, and I'll write it, I'll add a third as much again, and rewrite almost every sentence, which happened with the Final Cut, much to my editor's annoyance. And again, with Quiet Places, I between drafts, I wrote it all over again, and my poor editor had to edit again from scratch. But bless them, Crystal Lake Publishing are such lovely, lovely people that they just smiled sweetly, rolled up their sleeves, and got on with it again, and didn't take out a hit on me, although they probably would have been quite within their rights to.
Crystal Lake Publishing, I tell you, I just think the world of them and all the people and Joe and Paula and everybody associated with them. And every author that they published always has such great things to say about them. And you can tell by the way, especially the way they talk about their authors and their business. So, And Joe, if you're out there, you're listening to me, we love you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you'll know yourself from having worked as a publicist, publishing is not always the most upfront and squeaky clean business. Everybody who's worked in it for any length of time has a horror story. Every now and again, you come across truly decent organizations, truly decent people working within the world of publishing who really restore your faith in the whole business, and Crystal Lake are definitely one of those publishers.
Mm-hmm. So they, the things I see. you know, you're so right. Try to make it look smooth on the top and underneath it's going crazy, and then mm-hmm. there's always somebody that can look around and say, well, my wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, cousin, neighbor, whatever, they figure your job looks pretty easy, so I don't have to hire you anymore. They can do it. And then never hear from them again. And going, see how easy it was?
Yes.
Not so. Not so. Well, yeah, and there was another interview I wanted to read, or just an excerpt, about Quiet Places. However, and this is from S.J. Budd, Come and Behold My Dark World. And, of course, Budd describes the book, but here's a here's something for listeners. This is yet another great book from Crystal Lake Publishing, who are building up quite a reputation as publishers of great horror fiction. I read many of their titles, fiction and nonfiction, and they're all brilliant. But what stood out for me straight away was how original the book was. For a novella, it packs quite a punch. There's some pretty deep questions raised in here, which will leave you unsettled long after you've finished reading this book. Well, that's a recurring thing for effect, isn't it? What lies beyond our world? Is there a part of us that is immortal, and where do we go when we die? And it goes on, it says, the story itself is told in an imaginative way where we are presented with a horrendous situation and then are taken back further and further through time to figure out what happened. I found Sally really relatable, an outsider who's never felt accepted anywhere or by anyone apart from David. He is her true home, which is why she will stop at nothing to save him by lifting the family curse. And I'm going to leave that alone, except for something about a strange beast lurking around their remote cottage. And this is usually when the corgi step up to the barking, but never mind. But yes, there is a strange beast lurking, and that's always good. I think, anyway. But.
Oh, well, thank you for reading those out. And yes, and weren't they very lovely and kind? Said lovely, lovely things.
Yeah.
Considering all awful things I wrote in that book. There are a couple of other things I'd like to plug, if that's at all possible. Because I've been super busy. One of the other things that I've just launched this month is a new webcomic, which you can find at my website. And it's a it's very much it's a like a little monthly anthology, so it's a different story each month, and it's in the horror tradition. And the webcomic is called Fear Fix, and if you go to www.jasperbark.com/fearfix, and it's always excellent as a horror writer saying /. Fear Fix. The thing about this is it's very, very similar. It goes to the great old-time horror radio stories, such as Lights Out and Inner Sanctum, and also the EC horror comics that were massively influenced by that. And then the shows like Outer Limits and One Step Beyond, and of course the amazing Twilight Zone, which were influenced again by the horror comics. And then the later Warren horror comics, the black and white horror comics, were very big in the 70s and 80s. And it's very like that. And like all of these things, it has a host, has a comic character who hosts each of the stories. But in this instance, I am the comic character, so I appear in my own work as a sort of cross between Uncle Creepy and Rod Serling. So it's a dear old Uncle Jack. It's a different story, different chilling tale every month, they're illustrated by some of the most exciting names in mainstream comics and some of the biggest upcoming names in independent comics. So we've got some great stories lined up, and the first one is out. It's a deadly little tale of voodoo and revenge, and it's called A Bad Girl's Guide to Making a Killing.
I got to tell you, I posted that image, that cartoon, the page, on. I think I put it on Twitter today and on something else as well. I loved it. A bad girl's guide to making a killing. Oh yeah. And can I read it? Can I read the front, the picture? Okay, no, I won't. You have to go to it and look at it yourself. Okay.
Yes. So if you just type in Fear Fix, or just go to my website, jasperbark.com, and look for Fear Fix. It's up there in the little navigation bar at the top. And that's the first. And every month there'll be a new story. It's going to be updated, and there'll be new insanity. Being a
are these illustrated by Rob Moran?
The wonderfully, amazingly talented Rob Moran is only one of the brilliantly talented artists that I have working on it. And artists, again, from all over the world, from the Philippines, from Indonesia, from South America, from the States, from Britain, and even from over in Asia, had an amazingly and also Europe too, an amazingly talented array of artists that I've been working with from all over the world. Got lots of stories lined up, and hopefully, fingers crossed, some big surprises. And I'm quite excited to unveil this, because it's been a long time in the planning stage, but now it's time to go public and turn myself drop myself into my own hideous world and see if I survive it.
You know, and that's another thing I think I love in this, and I think that also with your own talent and imagination and skill as a writer and creator of all types of media works, whether it's, you know, it's the web, the videos, or the written word, I think you, and like I said, combined with all of your skill and talent and your knowledge horizon, you've also got, or whether within that knowledge horizon, wonderful things like the old shows of X-1, Inner Sanctum, Lights Out, because I listen to those on the, I think I told you, on the Radio Classics channel on XM, Sirius XM.
Oh, wow.
And
X-1,
you know, they play those, you know, pretty much every day. And so my husband and I listen to them when we're in the car. But if I could just... If you will indulge me just to read though this one image here. It's got a picture of Jasper. Jasper's in his tux and his tail. He's got horns. He's got his big pointy tail up the back of his I guess his tails of his coat, and a very Poe like reminiscent of Edgar Allan Poe. Tomb. He's in a cemetery. Skeleton up against it. He's holding on to a shovel as he's in the moonlight. And he says, "So, my anxious agony addicts, you're here for a quick fear fix, a little jolt of adrenaline to start your undead hearts. Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Jasper Bark, your horny-headed host." For these forays into fear, and I have just the kind of creepiness you crave. Our first scare story is aimed squarely at our financially concerned female readers. I call this one A Bad Girl's Guide to Making a Killing. I mean, who could resist that?
Well, thank you very much.
Did I read it in the way that you had written it and in the style
of
the voice?
I could not have done a better rendition myself. Thank you so much.
Yes, you could. No, you do much better.
You know what? In the movie of my life, you'll have to play me in drag.
Yeah, I'll have to beat up Johnny Depp to get that part. But okay.
Interestingly enough, actually, a little while ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I did a signing at a British store called Forbidden Planet. And signings for authors are always hit and miss affairs, because sometimes you do sit around for ages while the lovely manager of the shop makes you endless cups of coffee and tells you how many people they got last week for Stephen Fry, which makes you feel loads better when the only person who comes up to you asks you just quite simply about a different book and if it's on discount. I don't really write here, I'm just selling. But there was one time, I was sitting here in Forbidden Planet feeling slightly unloved and a bit forlorn. And this little boy walked into the aisle, stopped, looked at me, and his jaw fell open and his face lit up and he pointed at me, all excited. "It's you," he said. And I thought, well, this is interesting because I'm here signing adult books, but maybe it's a kid's reader. And he ran off, got off his pen, and said, Mum, look, look what they've got, look what they've got. And he dragged his mum down, and he pointed at me, look what they've got, look what they've got, Mum, look, they've got Frodo. A And his mum had to very politely explain, no, this isn't Frodo Baggins from the film Lord of the Rings. He's actually a writer. So I felt so bad for him, poor kid, that I actually signed a Lord of the Rings figure for him. Brian, lots of love from Frodo. So yeah, so maybe they'll get Elijah Wood to play it.
I'm sure he'll need the work. Yeah, and then he'll keep it up. You know, there was a there's a punk rock musician, Cheetah Chrome. His band was called the Dead Boys, and also Rocket from the Tomb, which sounds like a perfect band to play along to any event that where you're signing. Rocket from the Tombs and Dead Boys and Cheetah. The first time Cheetah was on my podcast, he was talking about there was a video. A documentary made about CBGBs in the 70s, you know, the New York Club, and they focused on the Ramones, Blondie, and his band, the Dead Boys, because they were popular bands there. And the guy that played Cheetah, I can't remember his name, he plays Ron Weasley in Harry Potter. And he said
Rupert.
Now he's taken to dressing. Rupert Holmes, or no, Rupert, no,
that's
Grimley.
Right. Rupert Grimley.
And it's close. So Rupert, he's taken to dressing like me, like how he dressed for me in that documentary all the time. So could be somebody's flashback nightmare, be sort of like, that could be, somebody could see him maybe with Cheetah and think it was Cedulon. I mean, Doc Hydrobus on Cedulon. He's split into his former self and future self.
Maybe there's a story to be had there. If you have a rock star that he's dying of maybe he's got like a terminal illness, and he takes on his young protege, the guy who's playing him in a biopic of his life, and secretly. The actor starts to dress like him and talk like him more and more and more, and secretly, perhaps, the rock star has made some secret pact with some infernal force to actually transfer his soul into his little protege's body when he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just a premise for a story. Maybe actually that's what Cheetah could do with Rupert, whatever his face is.
Or we
take
could go ahead and
body,
copyright this right
himself.
Now. Yeah. Cheetah Chrome. Yeah, so that's because I have some back on the story though, Paris Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Alpha Roby did
yes.
the graphics of the art on this,
amazing,
right? Now, how did you and Alpha get together for this?
We actually met on LinkedIn. We met on LinkedIn and we began talking, and he said, "Oh, you're a writer. Do you want to go and look at some of my art?" And Alpha had been working a lot in manga, but he rather wanted to get into American European comics. And his style looks like a perfect cross between manga artists and Marvel / DC artists. It's like a perfect middle ground between them. And we began talking, and I'd been writing some of the Doctor Who comic strip, and I had a plot left over. That I really liked, and I didn't want to give it away at the time. So I said, "Well, I've got this idea," and I started to think, right, if I was to retell this in a more interesting way, it's not a part of the Doctor Who universe, what would I do? And the story really took off then, and that's how Parasassin came about. And we shopped it around a little bit for various people. Mark Miller had a magazine called Clint, which was very big, and Clint gave birth to both Kick-Ass and also the Kingsmen. We spoke to them about possibly doing it with them, but they, unfortunately, that magazine went out of business, and Mark went off elsewhere and made loads of money doing something else. And then I approached David. David was just setting up Aces Weekly, and it looked like a really exciting venture. He had some amazingly talented other people. We pitched the idea to him, and he said, "That would be great. We'd love to have it." So we were in Aces Weekly from about the second issue onwards.
Fantastic. That's such a great story. But so, because you know, I've told people, and I teach this in the webinar that I have on DIY publicity for authors and musicians, that if you use social media properly, you'd be amazed how much you can get out of it, or the kind of connections you can make with people. And you and Alpha will be meet on LinkedIn.
Mm.
I mean, I've gotten a lot of great connections there too. I've gotten my clients on major network affiliate TV shows and stuff just from connections there. So that's fantastic.
If you just start conversations,
so, well,
I think the key thing is not to that people overlook that they want sort of almost sort of think they're trumpeting always continually about themselves, and they have to continually just talk about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing is to actually engage people and start a conversation with them. And it's a two-way thing. Show interest in them and what they're doing, and that will elicit interest in what you're doing.
Exactamente, mi amigo. That's what I tell people. It can't be all me, or you're like the girls or the people that used to stand at the door of department stores and spray perfume on you when you came in. You know, nobody likes that. You know, nobody likes to be always pitched at. So, engage in conversations and get to know people. Now, did you already know Alpha and his work, or did he obviously, you know, he had ideas for your work, but did you know him?
No, I didn't. We just met, and he added me as a connection, or requested, because you have to request to hook up on LinkedIn. And we began a conversation. He said, "I'm an artist," and I said, "Oh, I love some of your stuff." And it turned out he was an exceptionally talented artist, obviously, as a comic writer, you're always looking for new, brilliantly talented artists, because the better the people you work with, the better your collaborators. It's like being part of a band. You're always looking, you know, being as a musician, you're always looking for other musicians of incredible talent to play along with. And I'm always looking, as a comic writer, for other brilliant artists and illustrators to work with. And I've been incredibly lucky to work with some amazing people. And Alpha is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I noticed too on your credit and the information I saw have the press release says the creators Jasper Bark, writer, Alpha Roby, artist, and Bolt 01 for letters. So you definitely credit the persons at Bolt 01, one of the leading letterers in UK independent comics. But how do you go when you choose somebody for a letter or you hire somebody? What kind of what do you look for, and what kind of direction do you give?
Interestingly, if the person knows their job, it's like being part of a band. If a person knows your knob, knows their job, excuse me, you just say, look, it's in this beat, and I want you to play on the beat or off the beat. This is the rhythm. Off you go, and you start to play together, and you see if it sort of works. When you're looking for a letterer, you're looking for somebody who knows where to place word balloons so that your eye moves around the panel over the page extremely well, but doesn't put it over any important detail in the artwork that the reader has to see. And also can be quite imaginative with regards to how the text is presented, because what the word balloon does is it takes text and it turns it into a visual icon. So your brain, although it's reading text, processes it as a visual image. And the best letterers get that, and they make the letters somewhat visual. And David, Dave, who is Bolt 01, that's his nom de plume, is a brilliantly talented, and he grew up reading comics, and he's himself a publisher, and he works with hundreds of different artists. He works really quickly, very, very accurately, and he always does a fabulous job, and he really knows what to do. And so you often have go-to people who can get a job done really quickly and get it done really, really well and to the highest possible standard, and Dave is always one of those individuals. Concurrently, he's worked with me on a lot of different projects. He worked with me on the last graphic novel, Bloodfellas. He's done some of the work. He actually lettered the first webcomic I've got, and he's worked on a lot of different projects with me, and he's always been fabulous, and he's even signed on to do the letters for Beyond Lovecraft, which is the graphic novel that I'm doing with Rob Moran, and again, we're very excited to be working with him. We've worked with him before, and he did a brilliant job then, and I've no doubt he'll do an excellent job on that project. And
fantastic.
Speaking as well of, we were talking about engaging and getting to know people and getting to know your audience being the best way to promote yourself. One last little thing I'm involved with in launching, with a mind to actually getting much closer to the people who regularly read my work, for which I'm incredibly grateful, is I'm actually setting up, I've just launched a Patreon page. And Patreon is a form of micro sponsorship. It's like a crowdfunding site where people sign up and they agree to give you a little pledge either every month or per project. And in return for that, you give them all kinds of perks. I've just launched a Patreon page just this week. And so if you go to Patreon /Jasper Bark, you can come across my page, and I can promise you I'm offering all kinds of rewards and tier levels for getting involved with my ongoing campaign that you won't find anywhere else. And if you've ever spoken on social media, if you've ever read my work and you want to get a little bit closer, you want to pick apart the weird workings of my strange, albeit interesting, I would hope, mind, and the dark and macabre place that I'm trapped in permanently, come and engage with me on Patreon. There's never been a better way to communicate, to get close, to share stuff. And most of the perks I'm setting up are about setting up a two-way affair. So there's opportunities for you to get involved with my work, but also for me to get involved with your work. And there are tier levels that will suit absolutely everybody who wants to engage on that level. So do please come and check me out on Patreon also. That's patreon.com /Jasper Bark.
Uh-huh. And if people go there and they engage your page, then what kind of well, let's go visit it now, shall we? Do you mind if you got a moment?
Well, I've got as much time as you like.
All right. So, okay. So, of course, it begins with a video from Jasper Bark. And if you've never seen one of his videos, just, well,
go and look watch at the video. Simply,
he gets very personal.
Entertaining.
It's
a very entertaining person, thing, and you get to see me in a variety of strange places. I'll say nothing more, but just watch it. Yeah, and as I say, I have a regular writing surgery, which for a very, very small amount of getting involved with the campaign, we can go on, and that will be discussing, set a theme every single month. We'll be there to chat about that particular theme, which is key. You'll get a chance to talk about your work, any things which come up, any things which are important with you. Other people within the surgery will be able to interact with you. And, of course, I'll be there to moderate, to lead the discussion, and to give you the benefit of what I've learned about the particular theme or topic. You can get advanced access to everything I write. So if you like what I do and you'd like to kind of keep an eye on what I'm getting up to, again, engaging at a slightly different tier, there are three different tiers to access to just about everything that I do before anybody else, apart from my editor, sees it. You will get it weeks before anyone else sees it, so you really will have the inside knowledge on what I do. There is also the ability to appear in my acknowledgements. Very keen as a writer, lots of people, even though it's a solitary craft, get involved in helping bring a book to fruition. Again, get involved with this, and I will say thank you for as long as you're involved with the campaign in every single thing I publish. You will mention their acknowledgements. If you go a little bit higher, I can even drop you occasionally. It's always fun to drop my friends and associates into my work, and a lot of the characters of my work are named after people I know, and people have been lining up occasionally to suffer hideous fates in my work. Again, if you'd like to be immortalized for all time in a dreadful story, there is room to do that.
I do.
And there's the ability to appear on my YouTube channel. And I'll even, at certain levels, get involved. And again, if you're getting involved with my work, I'll get involved with your work, have a look at the things that you're writing, and give you tips. Everybody starting off in the business sometimes needs a bit of mentoring or a bit of help, happy to offer that as well. So if any of those things sound interesting or exciting to you, if you like my work or like the sound of what I do, do go and check me out on Patreon, patreon.com/JasperBark. Or just
and
go
you offer
and watch
everything.
My silly video.
Yeah. Everything from every level from $1 up you offer.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful, wonderful, very generous rewards for each level. So it's
there's a certain amount of value. And again, it's about building a relationship with the people who get involved in it and building a relationship with the people who like my work, which is one of the main reasons, which is what Patreon is such a good platform for doing. Any interest you might show, any support you might want to give me, even if you just go on and board and think, oh, Jasper isn't the idiot, but a lovable idiot,
no!
And I'll share his campaign.
Nobody would say that. No.
Well, you might
after
you watch the video, the campaign video.
No, they'll be enchanted. They'll be yours. So,
I would certainly hope. I'm actually announcing this. This is almost like the grand premiere, saved especially for your show, so people can hear about it and they can head over there right now if they want. Don't delay.
Oh,
pledge
really?
Today.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. You know, I love to have an exclusive on here. And it gives me so much cred to have an exclusive from people like you and David Fish. It was just cool, the cool people. And
you're one of the cool people. You see, it gives us equal cred to come on here and chat with you.
Am I the luckiest girl or what? So go to the patreon.com, and you know I will share everything on my social media. I am big on social media, and I will share it so that you can go over to Jasper Bark's Patreon page. And you see, as I said, he's got every level, every tier from $1, $5 up, and a very, very generous offerings and rewards for being his patron. And so your new things, you've got Parasassin, you've got Quiet Places, you've got a web comic, Patreon, Jasper. I've got just one more thing to ask you before I can let you go.
Mm-hmm.
When are you coming to the States?
My family and I, last year we planned a big trip. We're totally, my wife and I, fascinated with the southern states, and we kind of wanted to kind of do a bit of a road trip from Louisiana all the way through to mm-hmm. Georgia, kind of going along. I believe they call it the Redneck Riviera, and I'm totally fascinated. Excuse me if I've just been completely inappropriate in using that term. The southern states and the whole southern history fascinate both my wife and I, and the wonderful culture, and so many of our favorite writers are southern gothic writers, from Eudora Welty to Flannery O'Connor, and we love all of that wonderful literature and the culture, and we've only ever been to the east side and the west side. We never actually explored the southern states. So we are planning at some point a road trip. We were going to go last year, but unfortunately my in-laws took ill, and so we had to cancel the trip at the last minute. But we are planning, hopefully, maybe 2018, 2019, because my girls are getting quite old, and we've only got a few more big family holidays before my eldest goes off to college.
Yeah.
So in the next couple of years, and you're a Georgia girl, aren't you?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Atlanta.
So there we go. So we
or
must at some point pop in and see. And you can meet my gorgeous family. Because I'm married to an amazing woman and have got two incredibly fierce and very indomitable children.
I would be delighted to meet your family, to meet your wife and girls.
Yes, and they certainly keep me on my toes, which is perhaps where I need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I may have told you this before, but yeah, I used to have in my band, I used to have one keyboard player that had a wife and I think two or three daughters, and he says, "I'm the only guy. I live in a gynecocracy. You know, I'm never right. I never win any votes."
When
we vote on something, why bother?
Yeah, none of the women I live with are pushovers either, actually. They're all alpha. There's three alpha females. And I sometimes feel like a lion tamer inside a cage with three lionesses with no whip and no chair. Just my charm. To help me out. So I'm often refereeing. Are female. Actually, I'm the only male presence anywhere in my household, unfortunately.
And I'm sorry, who else is female? The voice interrupted there.
The cats, my two pets.
Okay.
I live in an entirely female household. I'm the only Y chromosome in a sea of X's.
So you'll have to come to Atlanta, I always heard the Redneck Riviera is Daytona Beach in Florida. That's what we call that. I'll give you all the vernacular. You can go visit the tightest buckle in the Bible Belt. You know, we'll show you along that way. Not inappropriate at all. But I think you'd have a great time. I think you'd have a great time starting off in New Orleans. I think that's probably where you plan to begin. Don't know.
Oh, yes.
But we could set up your book signings along the way, your readings and signings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we could do that.
Fantastic.
Well, I like the idea of it. Well, Jasper, you've got so much going on, and I'm so grateful that I don't know how you do it all, but that you do take time to come here to Madame Perry's Salon, and I am so grateful to you for that. I really do appreciate it. Please, I think you're going to be back on my Halloween special, which is the 26th. I don't know if you're going to be on live or just send me a recording, but I think this is going to be my best Halloween special ever.
Wow, I'm looking forward to it. But yes, I will definitely be there.
All right.
The 26th.
Yay. It's got star quality written all over it. Jasper Bart. Jasper, you know I always say too, everybody's got to swing. And thank you. You got any parting words for the audience? Mother Goose.